guys. If you guys notice, my voice is a little husky. If I start coughing, just look away and let me die here, and then I'll resume. So please give me some grace. I'm recovering from a bit of a cold. But welcome again, guys. My name is Heidi. It's just so good to be in the house of God. So if you can, just bow your heads with me. Let's pray, and let's get into the Word. Lord, we come before you humbled and broken. In all seasons, God, when we are tempted to choose fear or apathy, we choose instead to be held by your gentle hand. It is your love that grounds us and binds us together. It is your grace that brings us home today. And it is your fresh mercy that sustains us each day. Lord, we declare that our hope is found in nothing less than Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to us while we were still sinners, in love who died and resurrected, through whom we have been forgiven, and in his love we are strengthened for the continued stand for equity and justice in our land. So, Spirit, would you knit us together in your love? Father, teach us today what you long for us to know. And Christ, you are our King, our Lamb of God, the head of this church, to whom we submit to your ways and your will for us, O Lord. In Jesus' powerful and sovereign name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this week was really hard. I don't know if it was hard for you guys. I was really sad, and it felt like a really heavy week. And some of us might be coming in today with that, and some of us might be rejoicing. But more than the result of the election this week, we can all agree that our nation is fractured. So I was really saddened by the state of our world, how big it all seemed, how broken the church felt, how things felt out of my control, and things felt irreparable and hopeless. It was quite the week, was it not? And yet we are here at this weird 4 p.m. time, humbled, and we are all welcomed to the feet of Jesus, our King, knowing that the Spirit invites us. And the Spirit longs to impart us with wisdom and truth and life today. Amen? So the word of the day comes from 1 Corinthians. And this is what Apostle Paul said to the early church. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And can we read this last part together? All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. So Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. And the church of Corinth is riddled with division. So they're dealing with really polar extremes as well. Corinth was one of the largest and most corrupt cities in the Roman world. And it was being torn apart by these polarizing extremes. So there were some people in the body who were like, it's okay to associate with sinners, that's fine. And then there's others in the body who are saying, no, we have to isolate. We can't do that in order to be holy. Some people in the church thought they were smarter, more knowledgeable, more spiritual. Some chose to follow Paul. Some chose to follow Apollos. And at every point, there was division. And so the Corinthians are bickering and they're fighting. They're saying, if you don't follow Apollos, you're not even Christian. Well, if you don't follow Paul, you're a racist. And how can you be Christian if you support that? How can you be Christian if you don't support that? And it's with this divisive backdrop where Paul is saying, we are all different, but in Christ, we have all been baptized into one body. And we share in one spirit. Now, Paul isn't saying this to be contrived. He's not saying this to be a nice or polite or good Christian. And he is not diminishing their differences. And he's not saying that these things are not important. But rather, he is pointing to a frustrating but foundational reality that we are the body of Christ together. And none of us are any less part of the body. And God places each part where he sees fit. We need each other. And like it or not, what Paul is saying, we don't get to choose who is part of this body. We don't get to choose who belongs. And we don't get to sever off parts of us because we don't agree with them. God puts the body of Christ together. And now hear me, church. I don't say this lightly because there is violence and abuse and atrocities done in the name of Jesus by members of the church. And we cannot be silent or be okay with platitudes of unity or forgiveness or blanket statements. Yes, of course, God is king and he is sovereign, but our body is broken and our body is bruised. And when one part suffers, the whole suffers. And in humility, we have to take responsibilities for the ways that we also have been unfaithful to Christ, how we have harbored hate in our own hearts. We have not lived out the call to love our neighbor, and we too have been implicit to violence in our world. So as a church, we must mourn and we must lament. And we must speak truth in love and humility. And we do all of this with the foundational understanding that we need one another in order to be faithful to our love for Christ. Because we all together, each of us, make up the body of Christ. And so in high school, I was part of AP Bio, and one of the field trips we went on was to a cadaver lab. Does anyone know what a cadaver is? Yeah. It was the only field trip my dad came with, and he was so uncomfortable. He was so miserable. His face was all white. And so basically, A cadaver lab is where people who donate their bodies to science, they go to this med school, and people can go and students dissect body parts, and it's pretty jarring. I was 17 when I went, so youth kids, listen up. So I saw a cadaver, and something, it does something to you. When you see like nail polish and like a tattoo on a cadaver, it does something to your brain. It changes things a little bit. And we saw a cadaver that was cut in the middle, like all the way down, so that you could see from the inside. And it was really bad. There were eyeballs in jars, and then they like said, put out your hands, and we had to hold like brains and like lungs, and then they like pushed air through the lung, and it would, you know, get up and then go down, and it was like, oh no, I don't like this. So yeah, we were able to hold a brain and lungs and heart in our very hands, and it was a very sobering trip at the age of 17. And afterwards, the physician talked to us and took a moment, and it was a very like sacred moment where they were saying, you know, every single one of these bodies belong to someone who is loved, and we're so thankful for the families who've donated these bodies. You know, it's a very sacred thing. These are people. And so we were all like, oh yeah, that's really heavy and kind of serious. And then my teacher's like, all right, let's go eat lunch. And then all of us are like, ah. And I remember we were all sitting in the cafeteria. It was like cold cuts. And we're like, I don't want to eat this, man. Like, it's, oh. So I don't think any of us ate. But it's kind of gross, right? And I want you to imagine with me being in that room, that cold, sterile room. And it smells like chemicals. And it's, you're seeing all these limbs that used to be part of people, these bodies. And there's something that is so unsettling about body parts that are no longer connected, that are no longer living. And something that used to be so vital to the body, like a brain or a heart, if it's not connected to the body, it's so great for dissection and inspection, but it's essentially useless. There are no memories. It's not living. It's not connected to the body. It can't grow. And most importantly, it can't function the way it's supposed to function. And so there's this growing statistic of evangelicals who don't go to church because they fundamentally don't think that they need the church. We in the West have bought into this belief that it's just about me and God. It's just about my personal devotion to God. And we've drank this Kool-Aid, and a lot of us are needing to untangle this and learn again what it means to be part of the body of Christ. And so Paul's metaphor of the body is not just this rhetorical, nice image. It's actually a theological truth. That we are all together, individually, but connected, part of the body of Christ. And we need one another working together in order to be healthy and formed. The church can become a cadaver lab when we live divided, separated, and cut off from one another. So how does this happen? How did the Corinthians become so divided? How did this nation become so divided? When did this become so polarized? Now, Paul diagnoses these cancers in the scripture, and it says, I am not needed, and I don't need you. And these cancers are so insidious because it starts as a single cell that grows and metastasizes over the whole body. So what does this look like on a cellular level? So this idea, I am not needed, is rooted in insecurity and apathy. And now there's some of us who are here, but maybe you're hiding in plain sight. You believe this lie. I don't think I'm really needed in the body. I don't think it matters if I show up. You know, they got it. That person, you know, so good at singing, I don't need to be part of the worship team. The kids, they got it, you know. It's fine. I'm not actually needed in this body. And the second one is, I don't need you. And I don't need you is rooted in pride and self-righteousness. Maybe you're here, but you got one foot in and one foot out. I don't actually need you in my life with Christ. Maybe you're disillusioned. Maybe you've been hurt before. But you think, I don't need anyone else. I can do it myself. I don't need anyone knowing what I'm dealing with, what I'm struggling with. I can do it on my own. And it's when we begin to live out of these beliefs that the body of Christ doesn't need us, or I don't need the body of Christ, and how I live on the individual level doesn't actually matter in the grand scheme of things. This is how we begin to separate. We begin to get disconnected from the body of Christ. When you don't see yourself as a vital part of the body of Christ, sure, the body can eventually adapt, but the body is suffering. Have you ever had your hand fall asleep on you? I hate it. It's so terrible. Or Heidi Doe, a couple weeks ago, got her finger smashed in one of the canopies. You should ask to see her thumb later. It was so gross. But for many weeks, she couldn't even open a bag of chips. She's like struggling by herself, wrestling with the chips. What am I saying? Oh, so enough esoteric imagery. How do we actually begin to show up to be part of the body? How do we actually begin to participate? So in Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 from the NLT version, Paul writes, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So just as disconnection starts small, reconnection to the body starts small. What is your own special work? This takes some self-awareness. You can ask your friends, your trusted loved ones. Your specific and distinct personhood is necessary for the full and healthy functioning of the body. So raise of hands. We're gonna talk about the Enneagram if you're familiar. Okay, so if you're a 1, 9, or 8, can you just raise your hand? Be proud. Yes. You can say, "I am the gut." Cool, okay. If you're a 2, 3, or 4 on the Enneagram, can you say, "I am the heart"? I'm the heart. Yes. And then if you are a 5, 6, and 7, you can say, "I'm the brain." Oh, you guys are so loud. Oh, so proud. So proud to be the brain. That's great. I wish I was the brain too. But we need it. We need each of us. And so the Enneagram uses really helpful language of the body too. Whether you're the heart, the gut, or the brain, or if you're familiar with the fivefold ministries, there's the apostles, teacher, prophet, shepherd, pastor. God gives each of us a gift, a specific role. And mine is going to look different than yours. And we need everybody to show up and do our own special work. So take a moment right now, ask the Holy Spirit, what personality, what strength, what weakness did you give me? Did you give me empathy? Did you give me vision, wisdom, intuition? Am I good at baking? Am I good at doing computer stuff? What is it? Just ask the Holy Spirit right now. I'll wait. Some of you guys are zoning out. I'm watching you guys do it right now, especially you, Tim Pei. You got it. And then we show up. Scripture says we show up and we do our special work. And so, yes, we have all been imparted with this gift to build up the body of Christ, and we need everyone to participate. So let's say you're an eyeball. You got clarity, you got vision, you got oversight. You can see all the things that maybe people like me don't see because I'm the heart. But you're here and you're saying, I don't need you guys, or the body's fine without me. But without your contribution, without you showing up, we are bumping into walls. We're hitting corners. God is saying, actually, the body needs your sight. And also, you need the body to live out your gifting that he has given you. And so have you guys ever been encouraged by the way that someone has shown up in this body? I'm just going to brag about some people here. Sarah Chang, is she here? I think she was here. But her love for the children with special abilities, it is so infectious. It is so beautiful. And I am so blessed every time she comes around and I get to see her. Jen Shin, her devotion to prayer, I'm so encouraged by her. Paul O, his undeniable love for the kids. Gino, his wisdom and oversight in the board. And these are just small snippets of a countless array of gifts that we have been blessed by in this body. And today is membership, and we get to invite 8 new members into this house. And I'm so excited to see the ways that you guys will show up and utilize your God-given abilities and strengths and even your weaknesses to build up this body of Christ. So, this metaphor of the body of Christ, our individuality is not erased and it's not unimportant. Rather, it is precisely the unique and individual giftings that each of us bring that make up the body of Christ. And our oneness with one another empowers us to be a healthy, growing body of Christ. This body in which we are sustained, but also where we get to practice how to love like Christ loved. How to forgive as Christ forgives, how to submit under his headship and authority. We practice that here. And as we do this work of showing up, of learning what our special gift is to this body, the whole body grows. And as this body grows, we become Jesus's literal hands and feet, able to touch a world that is longing for a touch from Jesus. So this week, when everything felt so heavy and so hopeless, I would stand by the window and just, "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to know you again." We come back here to this body. It starts here. It starts with me. It starts with you. And together, as we keep showing up in our own unique ways, collectively and submitted to Christ, we will grow healthy and mature in his love. This body is broken and it's blemished, but God loves his bride. God loves his body, and he is making us new, and he is making us a spotless bride. And it just takes one touch for transformation to happen. This world is longing for a touch from Jesus, for his people to live into the call of what it means to be his body. May we begin here. May we start here. Let's pray. God, you are head of this church. You are a good bridegroom, and you love us, Lord. So right now, God, we open our spirit to you. And we say yes to showing up in our own unique ways, showing up to this body in the way that you've designed it to be. Because God, you are worth it. God, you deserve it. And God, we long to be a body that is submitted to you, connected and unified by your Spirit. So Lord, we praise you today. Holy Spirit, move in us, Lord. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
And grateful and thankful for these new members to God. Can you give God a big shout and praise? Yeah. I had the privilege of getting to know them through Orthopraxis, and I just want to say on behalf of the church and as a pastor here, we are so honored to have you guys here to journey with us. I really believe that you're not just to be nominal members. I really believe that we not only really want you, but we really need you, and that together we're going to serve God together, and we're going to make history for God together. Amen? That God could use a small band of brothers and sisters if when we dedicate our lives to him, he can use us for his good. Amen? I just want to give one exhortation. You know, let's go back to that Ephesians. Can I just highlight something there? Ephesians, I think chapter 5, was it when it says to do the work? Where is that? Okay. He makes the whole body fit together. Now, this is for all of us, okay, as we close here. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. I want you to focus on that second sentence. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. I know that in the context, it's talking about your ministry, your gifts, what you give to God, to this world, and to this church, how you use your time and resources. It's going to bless all of us, right? And that is the special work. But if I could stretch that word just a little bit today for all of us here. Do you know how we're going to keep growing? Do you know how we're going to keep staying united? Is when each of us do the special work inside of us that no one else can do. What I mean by that is the Holy Spirit does not just want to use you and work through you. The Holy Spirit has special work that he wants to do in you. That work in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That work in you that the Holy Spirit is trying to do is to help you die to yourself. It's to help you die to your flesh and all the ways that distrust God and rebel against God. When you do that special work and you take the time out of each day of your life and allow the Holy Spirit to mess with you, humble you, get you to apologize, say sorry or repent or change from your wicked ways. When you let the Holy Spirit do work in you, that special work in you, we all benefit and we all grow. So listen, members, I just want to say this to you. The easiest thing to do from this point on is to attend, show up, and just serve, right? That's the easiest thing. The hardest thing is to let Jesus do the special work in you, to let him go deep inside you, take you to places you never wanted to go, and let him heal you there. When you let him do that, we all benefit. And we all grow together. You might ask, PB, how do I know that, I know I'm a member now, but how do I know that I'm growing in love with this community? Here, I'm going to give you the answer. Okay, are you ready? This is how you know you have grown in love with Echo. The first day you realize how much people here bug you, how much people here offend you, how human we all are, and you still choose to forgive, and you still choose to overcome the offense and stay put and let Christ do his work in you, that's when you know you are now really part of the body of Christ, when you are forgiving and gracious to each other. Amen? And the only way that happens is if you're part of a body that's full of human beings that are flawed. And that's what God is really inviting you into, a place where you can practice the Jesus love that's in you. Amen? Let's pray, and I'll bless you guys. Lord, thank you so much for this special day. Before our anniversary service, we get to celebrate and welcome new members into this body. Lord, we know that this is not just some ceremony or just some nice religious ritual. We know that you have a purpose in adding them to this body. You want us to do great works and special works for you. But you also want to bring healing through them and in them as well. So God, we welcome you by welcoming them. And I pray that with them, we'll do great things where the lonely and the hurting, the marginalized, the foreigner, the refugee, the lonely, the poor will experience Jesus because they have been added to this body. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen. Take some time to come up and love on them. If you don't know them, get to know them.